Today's daf and bab mitzvah, samachay. Thank you, Lubin Dan, foundation for sponsorship of the daf, as long as Zechon Ishmael Lubin Gavriel Bashmuel. We are starting today on the top of Samach Dalmid Beis. We're starting today with a Mishnah. Obviously, in the fifth parak of bab mitzvah, our topic has been and will continue to be that of the Isser in the Torah to charge interest when you are lending money. You're not allowed to charge interest. Now, as we already discussed in the beginning of the parak, it's worthwhile noting and repeating that the Torah only prohibits ribbis when the ribbis was set out at the very beginning of the origination of the loan. I lend you $100 and I say at the origination that you're going to pay me back $120. So that is ribbis min haTorah. That's what we refer to as ribbis kitsutza. If at any point during the loan I get a little bit of extra, either extra money or an extra favor or any benefit that's going to be extra, so that would be ribbis, but not ribbis min haTorah. That's not an interest that's prohibited by the Torah, but it's prohibited mid derabbanan. And as we'll see over the course of the beginning of this morning, it could very well be that there may not even be any interest whatsoever, but mechzik ribbis. But it simply looks like ribbis, and that also is prohibited by the chachamim as well. And let's begin the Mishnah. We'll give a good illustration of something which is mechzik ribbis. It looks like ribbis, and therefore the chachamim prohibited it. So amavitz chaver lo yidar bechatzero chinam. So let's say I lend my friend money, and I help myself to his property. And I live in his property while I lent the money. So I didn't charge him any interest on the loan, but obviously I'm getting an extra consideration. I get to live in his property. I get to live in it for free. And that obviously has a value. And so that extra value is going to represent ribbis. Again, maybe not min haTorah, although in a moment we're going to discuss the Gemara. If you stipulated at the origination of the loan, I'm going to lend you the money and I'm going to live in your house, so that's ribbis min haTorah. That's ribbis kitsutza. So we will handle the nuance of that a little bit later this morning. But in the meantime, however, the point of the mission is very straightforward. If I lend the money and I live in his apartment, so that's that you're not allowed to do. And also, I can't rent one of your properties. If I'm the lender, I can't rent one of your properties at a discount. That also gives me a benefit. So normally rent would be $1,000 a month, and I'm now renting for $500 a month. And the reason why you're discounting is because you owe me money, because we have an outstanding loan again, because I have an outstanding loan against you. So that also constitutes ribbis. I'm also getting a benefit in addition to the money that I'm getting paid back, and that also represents ribbis. I'm Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi, I'm Rav Nachman. So the Gemara now is going to reflect what we learned all the way back towards the beginning of Bava Kamma, and that's the following. Under certain circumstances, I can live on your property and I don't have to pay anything. For example, the Gemara, it's in the second parak. Daf Chaf, Daf Chaf Aleph, and we have a general idea of what's called Zelonena v'Zelo Chaser. You're not getting benefit, and I'm sorry. Right? I'm not losing, and you're not losing, and neither of us are losing. I'm not gaining, and you're not losing, and so therefore I don't have to pay you. So let me present this like it was all the way back in the Baba Kama. Okay, let's talk about from the perspective of the courtyard owner, right? The courtyard owner. So some of his properties are rentals, but some of his properties are not rentals. In other words, he doesn't put up for rent, and it's just simply an unoccupied property. Okay, a couple houses around the circle. I'm sure you know which ones they are. On my very own block, there's a couple. Okay, I won't give you the addresses right now. But anyway, they're just simply unoccupied properties. They're not up for rent. They're just simply unoccupied properties. So if somebody just sits in their house, now obviously there's things called trespassing and the door's locked and so forth and so on. But I'm just speaking right now strictly from a rental standpoint. In other words, it's not up for rent, and so therefore there's no chisaron. There's no real loss caused to the. There's no realized loss caused to the owner of the home if somebody just sits and lives in it.
Women tails.
Okay. Right. Okay, fine. Right. We all. Correct. But in other words, he's not renting it out. You are not causing him a tangible financial loss by just simply living in his house. Then, from the standpoint of the person who's actually renting it, Right, the squatter. And from his standpoint, well, if I really need a place to rent, then I got no other way to go. And if I didn't live here, I would have to rent it out. That's hana, that's benefit. But let's now imagine a case where there are plenty of other places I could have stayed at. And I didn't need this place. It just happens to be that it's, you know, it's nice, it's comfortable. And but I could have gotten another home. So the Gemara Baba Kama says, what I just illustrated is an example of v'zelo nena v'zelo chaser. The person living in the house didn't get hana. Now I know it's hard to argue that because he's in the house and you know there's a roof over his head and he's being protected from the elements. But again, we're just speaking strictly from the rental standpoint. He had other places to live, so that's what the Gemara calls zelonene. And as far as the homeowner is concerned, because his house is not a rental and because by you being in that house, you're preventing him from other people renting it because it's not a rental. So zelochaser. The Gemara Baba Kama teaches us that under those circumstances, I don't have to pay. So now our discussion goes like this. We just learned in our Mishnah that if I loan somebody money, I can't live in his property because that's an extra benefit. But what if I live in his property under these terms that I just laid out? Of zelo nena v'zelo chaser. Where now, I wouldn't have had to have paid him rent under those circumstances. Would that be okay? Would that be acceptable? Where if I lend him the money, can I live in his house where there really is no value in living in his house? The Gemara discusses. I'm Rav Yosef Bar Yomi, I'm Rav Nachman. As per the Gemara in Baba Kama that I just went over, if I'm living in someone's property, so I don't have to pay him rent. However, once I'm his lender, so then I got to give him some sort of payment for living in his property. So the Gemara says, "My kamash tanina." So the Gemara says, "Okay, this is a statement made by Namora, Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi, in the name of Rav Nachman." But the truth of the matter, says the Gemara, is that we already learned this in the Mishnah. It's exactly what the Mishnah just taught us. The Mishnah says it. So what have we gained from the Amora that we didn't already know from the Mishnah? But the Gemara points out, yeah, if all I had was a Mishnah, here's what I would have said. I would have said that if this is a real financial benefit where it's a rental property, I need to rent it. So therefore, there is an absolute value of me living in that house. So then, yes, if there's an absolute value, and he owes me money by me living in that house, that's an extra benefit that I'm receiving in addition to my loan. It's a real value that I'm receiving. So the Gemara says, that's how I would have explained the Mishnah. But let's say it's not a rental property, and I don't need to rent out this property. I have other places where I could live, and I happen just to use it. So I might have thought now that under these circumstances, where there is zero value of me being in this house, he didn't lose and I didn't gain. Zelo nena v'zelo chaser. So under those circumstances, I could have made the argument, there's no real additional value that I'm receiving by living in the house, and therefore it's not a violation of ribis. So kamash malan, so the Gemara says, and now we have a chiddush. The chiddush of the Amora of Rav Nachman is that even though there is no real value of me living in that house, it still represents ribis. What kind of ribis are we talking about? So like I said back in the Mishnah, before we learned the Mishnah, it's mechze karibis. Meaning, you're right, meaning there's no accrued real value added on to the loan because zelo nenev zelo chaser, and there really is no, I wouldn't have had to have paid him rent, but still, I lent him money, I'm living in his house, it looks like I'm getting an extra benefit, and so therefore, under those circumstances, it's still going to be usur. Igadami the Gemara now has a slightly different version of how this discussion goes. The starting point is slightly different. I'm Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi, I'm Rav Nachman, Af Pi Sha'amar Adaber Chatzer Chaver Shlo Midato and Yisarach Lalos Oschar. We're going to start with the same point, that under certain circumstances, if I live in somebody's house, I don't have to pay him. However, Halveni V'dor B'chatzeri Sarech Lalos Oschar. However, if we structure the loan where I say to him, let me borrow money from you, and I'll pay you the amount that I borrowed, but you can also live in my house on top of that. So now this is how the loan is structured. Under these circumstances, now we're talking about something very close to Ribbis Ketzutza. So the Gemara says, under those circumstances, it's going to be Asar. Now, Mandamar Halveo Koshekein Halveini. Now, if you went with the first version of Rav Nachman, so certainly you're going to subscribe to the second version. Because in the second version, the loan was structured this way. This is what we would refer to as Ribbis Ketzutza. And so if you are Machmir in the first version, if you say it's Asar in the first version, you're certainly going to say it's Asar in the second version. However, Mandamar Halveini Vava Halveo Lo. However, if you only subscribe to the second version, you may be more lenient in the first version, because in the second version, the loan was structured this way, where I'm going to borrow for money from you, and you're going to live in my house, and you're able to live in my house, and that's Ribbis. And that loan was structured as Ribbis. However, excuse me, in the second version, you may be Mekel. Why? The Gemara spells out, "My time a kivendi mikarlo idaita dahachi usfei lesanba," because the loan wasn't originally structured this way, meaning that the loan was just simply a dollar for dollar loan. I'll lend you $1,000; you'll pay me back $1,000. And then after the loan originated, now, oh, you know what? I need a place to stay. Look, it's not your rental; it's just one of your unoccupied homes. And the truth of the matter is that I could have stayed somewhere else. So there is no value. There's no tangible financial value of me being in the house, and it's after the loan was already structured, so therefore the Gemara says you could make the argument leslan ba that there's no isser in such a scenario. Yeah.
It looks like Rivers to prove. In other words, are we concerned about other people watching this?
Stay tuned. We're gonna be discussing that a little bit later this morning. But generally speaking, the loan looks like Rivers. That's the easiest way to say it. But later on, we're going to talk about perspectives. From which perspective do we have to look at it from? Rav Yosef Bar Chama Takif Avdi Din Shi Damasik Behu Zuzay. Okay, so Rav Yosef Bar Chama had a claim against somebody. Somebody was owed him money, and I'll embellish a little bit. And it's been a long time since he got paid back. Okay. And so he got frustrated. And so what did he do? So he took the person's Eved, presumably Eved Kanani, the Eved Behu. So he took his Eved Kanani and he had the Eved Kanani start working for him. So Amalei Rava Berei, so Rava's son turns to the father and says to his father, "Dad," now again, this is always uncomfortable, having a halachic discussion between son to father, where the son is correcting the father in terms of the father's actions. But we're going to have that uncomfortable discussion right here. So my time Avin Marhachi. So the son turns to dad and says, "Wait one second, he owes you money. And you just took a slave and you're having the slave work for you, that's an additional benefit that you're receiving in addition to the loan. This should be prohibited on account of ribbis." So Amalei Anakarav Nachman Svirali. So dad says to his son, "Oh, let's all calm down. I took the slave and the slave's working for me. But you know what kind of value we're talking about? Zero. I'm not getting any real benefit from this. Why? Because based on the statement of Rav Nachman, Dam Rav Nachman Avda Nohom Kresa Lo Shavi. So Rav Nachman says, a slave is not even worth the food that I feed him. Meaning, and now it happens to be, as we'll see in just a moment, Rav Nachman was talking about his own slave and being critical about his own slave. But, in other words, the Gemara is understanding this right now as a general rule. In other words, yes, it's true, having an Eved Kanani working for, owning an Eved Kanani, it's great, he works for you, etc., but how much value are we talking about? Rav Nachman says, I have to pay more to feed him than what I get back in terms of his service that he provides me. And so, what Rebbe... So Rav Yosef Bar Chama is justifying is, I took a slave, but I fed him. And so whatever I fed him, I'm not getting back in exchange in terms of services. And so therefore, this is not an additional benefit to the loan. So he says to his son, this is not a problem.
It's odd that the lender is getting in the way, because he doesn't have to feed the slave himself, so he's being saved the money to feed the slave.
All right, you mean the borrower, but yes.
Yeah,
okay. Could be. So Amalei Amadam Rav Nachman Kagon Dari Avdei Demarake Bekuve. So a great line of Gemara. Rava says to his father, Rav Nachman was not talking in general. Rav Nachman was actually making comment about his own slave, Dare, who we come across in the Gemara with regularity. And Dare, the slave of Rav Nachman, so he says, quite frankly, he was a clown. Now, I don't mean that, I don't say that word lightly, that's the word Rashi uses, right? He was a clown. I don't mean it literally, but basically, Rashi says, and again, I'm just pretty much paraphrasing Rashi, he went bar hopping at night. So basically, Rav Nachman's slave Dari was somebody who didn't really work that particularly hard and bar hopped at night and basically was a bum. And so, yes, when Rav Nachman was critical about slaves, he wasn't critical about slaves in general, he was critical about his own slave. And my own slave isn't worth the food that I feed him. But you can't say that in general. So Abde Achrina Mi'amar, Rav Nachman didn't say that about slaves in general. And so therefore, again, the son is protesting his father's action because his father is taking a slave from the borrower and having him work for him, and that's an additional benefit. So the Gemara says, well, again, the father now is justifying his action by quoting another memra, and that is Atokif Avdu Shachaver Vasaba Malacha Pater. Let's say you take your friend's Evet Kanani and you have him work for you, so you're going to be Pater. You are not going to have to make any type of remuneration to the person you took the Evet Kanani from. Now why should that be? Denichale Delo Nistere Avde. And the argument goes like this. It was on a day that he was not working. In other words, it was on an off day. Now, I get this as well. After a lengthy vacation, okay, I'm in the teaching profession. So after a lengthy vacation, so I go back to work and I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? The days are long, and what just happened? What happened was is I vacationed. Right, it's terrible. I write, don't tell my employers, but I got to do it less often. But you vacation, and then all of a sudden, like you're not into the flow, and so the Gemara says, the Gemara in Gittin, the Gemara is quoting it here. The Gemara says that when you take your friend slave on an off day and you have him work, so even though that's a value that you just took, but you're also providing a value. I know this is it's a funny argument, but the Gemara makes it. But you're also providing a value to its owner. And that basically the slave is not going to get lazy by you having it work on an off day. And so you would not have to pay for the benefit that you received. So, again, father's justifying his action, and the father's saying, so same thing over here. So I took the borrower's slave and have him work for me. But again, I'm doing him a favor, it's not a favor towards me. So I'm relay, so again, the son is protesting. Okay, that's in general, when there is no financial relationship between the two parties. Over here, you are the creditor. He owes you money. By you taking the slave, it looks like ribis. So the Amar of Yosef bar Minyome, Amar of Nachman, Afa Bishamar, Darbe Chatzer Chaver Shlomi Dator Nesarchla Loso Schar, Haval VeDarbe Chatzer Sarchla Loso Schar. And we return back to the beginning of this morning's discussion, where the Gemara says, even if it's something that does not have a value, like a non-rental place, and you don't need to rent it, nevertheless, you can't live in the borrower's home. Because it looks like interest. It looks like an additional benefit. Even though, if we were to put a value on it, the value would be zero, but still, it looks like benefit. Here too, the son is saying to the father, the son Rav is saying to his father, look, I understand, you want to make the argument that there's a $0 value to the work that he did for you? Okay, maybe you can make that argument. But he's your borrower, you're his creditor. You can't do that, it looks like ribbis. So I'm Amalei Hadrabi. And finally, after the discussion, so dad says to his son, okay, you know what, I retract. You're right, and I'm going to retract. Okay. In general, the Gemara in Kedushin says that when a son corrects the father, the son's got to be unbelievably careful about how he words it, about how he phrases it. Now, in this particular dialogue that we just learned together, there didn't seem to be any softening of the discussion. So, okay, but I guess the son, this is my speculation, you know, Rava knew that his father can handle this kind of discussion, and he was open to this kind of discussion. Alright. Okay, now, as we know, you're not allowed to charge interest. Right now, that's obvious, right? But we also know, I just want to remind you of something else that we learned earlier, and that is that if you charge interest and it's the ribis min haTorah, so that is something that you could be taken to court for, and you will be expected to reimburse the borrower with that interest that you collected. Okay? Then that sheet is Rav Elazar. And as we're going to be saying a little bit later this morning, that's the halacha by Ribis Daraisa. And let's keep that in mind as we see now these next 2 to 3 stories. No, you just have to return. You have to return the interest you accrued. But Amar Abai, but there will be a discussion which the Gemara right now is going to have. Amar Abai Haman Damasik Zuze the Rebisa Bechaver Veka Azle Chiti Arba Grive Bezuze. So there was a person who was collecting interest from another Jew. Okay. That was wrong. You're not allowed to do that. We know that. And right now, the going price of wheat was 4 bushels for a zuz. Bishuka. That was in the marketplace. V'yayiv le'iu chamisha. And now, what the borrower did to the lender is the borrower gave him, for every zuz that he owed him, and we're talking about now a zuz of interest. For every zuz of interest that he owed him, instead of giving him 4, he gave him 5. 5 bushels for every zuz. Okay, so basically it's like interest on interest. I mean, extra interest.
Why wouldn't this qualify as that? Oh, no.
As oh no,
20%.
Well, right now we're not talking. Yeah, it is a commodity, but it's really for a currency obligation. Okay, you're right about the numbers, but okay. So kimaf kinamine. So now, after and again, everything that just happened was bad. It was wrong. You're right. The guy shouldn't have charged interest, and the bar shouldn't have paid the interest. By the way, right? We'll talk more about that in terms of who's violating the law. And the answer is going to be, I mean, we already said in the beginning of the parak, the lender and the borrower are both violating the law. So they both were in the wrong. But because we're assuming right now that this is ribis min haTorah, we're going to assume that. So therefore, now the borrower is going to be able to take the lender to court in order to get back his interest. But here's the interesting part, pun intended, and that is that the borrower, for reasons which I don't know what his motivation was, but he paid extra interest. In other words, instead of giving him the zuz at 4 bushels rate, which was the going market rate, he gave him 5 bushels for every zuz of interest that he owed him. So now when he takes them to court, so what can he expect back as his reimbursement? So ki mafkina minei arba mafkina minei ida chuzulu de kamozu gabe. So what he's going to get back is he's only going to get back the 4 bushels for every zuz of interest that he paid, but not the 5. What was that 5? A discount. But that's not part of that. We're not going to count that as part of the interest. Rava on this point disagrees. Rava amar chamisha mafkina minei. No, when he gets back his reimbursement, since he paid 5 bushels per zuz, he's going to get back 5 bushels per zuz. Demikar b'tarsh ribisa asai liyadei. And Rava's argument is, look, when he paid the 5 bushels per zuz, he was paying that as interest. And so therefore, even though, yes, that was more than the going market rate, but he was paying that as the interest, and therefore he's going to get that reimbursed as part of the Beis Din's ruling. Amar Abaye, a second story. Haman Damasik Arbaye Zuzay de Ribisa Bechavre. Again, a contracted interest loan between two Jews, and the interest amounted to 4 zuz. V'yavle glima begavayu. And for the interest, instead of giving him money, so he gave him a cloak. So ki mafkina minei arba mafkina minei glima lo mafkina minei. So as far as now, going to court, getting back a reimbursement of the interest that you paid. So you paid the interest in the form of a cloak. You're only going to get back money. You're not going to get back your cloak. Meaning that the sale is considered a valid sale, even though the sale was in lieu of interest. But nevertheless, the sale stands according to Abaye, and therefore you're going to get you're only going to get back the 4 zuz extra that you're owed.
What was the consideration, though?
There was no consideration, meaning it was just simply,
so it was a gift.
Let's assume that the cloak itself was worth 4 zuzim. So he instead, in other words, I know I owe you the interest, and again, it's wrong, but I owe you the interest, but instead of interest, I'm going to be giving you the 4 zuz. So what Abaye's ruling is that when the lender is now reimbursing that interest, he doesn't have to give back the cloak. He could just give its monetary value. That's Abaye's ruling. To which Rava says, no, I object to this as well. Rava amar glima mafkina minei. So Rava says the cloak is going to go back to the borrower. My time, ki echadol olemru, glima damachse, v'kai glima deribisa hava hu. Because this is going to be the interest cloak. And and every time he goes out into the street, people are going to point to him and say, yeah, you know how he got that coat? Let me tell you a little story about that guy. Let me tell you a little story about that coat. And it's going to be the interest coat, and everyone's going to be talking about it. And Rava says, I'd rather not. I'd rather not become that the source of attention and a talking point in which people are going to be talking about how we collect with interest, give back the coat. Meaning, it sounds like from Rava, by the way, and the way he responded, fundamentally I agree with Abaye. In other words, that really the coat does belong to the lender. But still, because of the conversation that it will ensue and that it will promote, so Rava requires him to return it. Amar Rava haymanda masik tresar zuzei deribisa bechavrei. Okay, one more case over here where interest was charged on a loan. Now the interest amounted to 12 zuzim. And so v'agale chater de mitagra ba'asara So now the borrower is going to pay the interest, but the borrower says to the lender, let's do the following. Okay, I owe you 12 zuzim of interest. Again, wrong and wrong. But we're past that point. Okay, I owe you the 12 zuzim of interest, but here's what I'll do. I have properties. Now, I normally rent out this property at 10 zuzim, but do me a favor. Can we agree that, well, you're going to rent it out for me at 12? You'll overpay for the rental, and that will be the satisfaction of my interest that I owe you. Okay, you're good with that? And apparently the lender was fine with that. Okay, now, ki mafkina meinei. Okay, so, interest was charged, that was wrong, and now we're going to court and he's going to get a reimbursement. But now what kind of reimbursement is he going to get? You see, because the lender the hyping up the price of the rental a satisfaction of the interest. But that wasn't its true value. Its true value was 10. And so now when a reimbursement is given, so ki mafkina minei, trace our mafkina minei. So again, we start with we start with Abaye, but over here in this third story, it's Rava. We start with Rava, and Rava says that you're going to have to reimburse 12 because that's how much the interest was. So Amalei Rav Acha Mediftel Ravina Valeimalei Ki Agra Hachi Da'avik Hamishtar Sheli Harshta Dolom Mishtar Sheli Kida'agri Kole Amahu Da'agarna. So and the objection over here is, wait 1 second. He only allowed for an inflated price because it was interest. It was extra that he was receiving in addition to the loan. And so, you know what? Okay, you want, it's normally rent for 10 and I'm going to rent it for 12. Okay, fine. It's extra anyway. So I'll allow it to be a little bit taken advantage of because anyway, I'm getting extra. But now that I'm reimbursing, and now you expect me now to pay back 12 that I reimbursed when the true value of what I received was only 10. So the Gemara says, Mishum da'amrele sfart v'kabalt. But the Gemara's final ruling on this is that, you know what? No. You accepted that to be the rental price. And since you accepted that to be the rental price, and now you have to reimburse it, you have to reimburse based on what you accepted to be the rental price. And since you accepted 12, you have to reimburse 12. Okay. Okay, prepayment. I know this is going to be a big discussion. I know what's coming up now in the Gemara is, you know, it's Maisa B'chol Yom. Right? You pay me now and, you know, and I'll give you a discount. You pay me later and I'm going to expect a little bit more. And so is this going to be a violation of Ribbis? Let's remember that Rav Nachman just yesterday gave us the general rule of what are the guidelines of Ribbis. And he said it in one line. And it really is klal shel davar. It's really the basic rule regarding ribbis. It finds itself on Samach Yom Amid Beis. We did it yesterday. And that is that if you're rewarded for waiting, so that's ribbis. Okay? Anytime you get an extra, you get incentivized, a monetary incentive to wait, and you're fronting somebody money, and you're gonna get rewarded, so that's a violation of ribbis. So with... Huh? Well, if it's, my best way to describe it is that if it was structured that way, so then it's Daraisa. If it happens only after the fact, so that's the Rabbanan. Okay, but that's the basic rule. And with that in mind now, let's begin the Mishnah. We're on Samech Hamad Aleph. We are starting now the Mishnah, and we talked today about prepayment. And here we go. Marben al Aschar vein Marben al Hamechar. So, you want to, you want to increase the price because you're not going to get paid immediately. You can do that for rent, but you can't do that for a sale. So let's give an example. The Mishnah is going to give an example. And the obvious question, which we're going to hold off until we get to the Gemara, is what's the difference? But we'll hold off on that question until we start the Gemara. Ketzad. Let's begin. So let's say we have a rental agreement between the owner and the renter. And the owner says, you pay me now, you can pay me 10 salayim. However, but if you pay me monthly, now there are 12 months in a year, sometimes 13. For our purposes, let's just assume 12. So, but if you want to pay me monthly, you'll pay me 1 salah per month. In other words, you'll pay me 12 months. Sorry, you'll pay me 12 salayim for the 12 months. The Mishnah says, mutter. That's acceptable. Now, clearly, you're going to get rewarded for waiting. Had he given you the money now, you would have gotten only 10. Now that you waited, You got 12, you got rewarded for waiting. Stay tuned. We have to explain that. Machalo sadeo v'amarlo. Let's say now we're talking about a sale. And in the sale, I say to the person, you want the property now, you're going to pay me right now? So then, the going rate is going to be 1,000 zuz for the sale of the property. However, im legoren, but if we're going to wait until the granary, we're going to wait till harvest, you want to do a layaway plan, and you want to pay me later? So then, mishnei masar mana. You're going to be paying me 1,200 zuz, 200 greater than what I would have taken right now had you paid me right now. Says the Mishnah, usser. So that's going to be prohibited. Now, the second half of the Mishnah makes perfect sense. Because in the second half of the Mishnah, what effectively has just happened is that you got rewarded for waiting. Had you gotten paid now, so you would have been paid 1,000. Now that you decide that you're going to wait, because you don't need the money right now, and you're letting him hold the money for a little bit longer, and he's going to be paying extra for holding the money, so that's a violation of ribbis. So it's fair to say that the second half of the Mishnah really makes perfect sense. Now, but when you contrast that to the first half of the Mishnah, first half of the Mishnah obviously is difficult to understand. And we start with the Gemara with a very simple question, and that is, my Shna Reisha or my Shna Seifa. So what's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? Rabbi Rav Yosef Darmi Tarvayu. Now really, when the Gemara is asking, I mean, I know what the Gemara is asking, we just read it, but if I could just explain it even a little bit better, meaning it's the Seifa that makes sense. It's not the ratio that makes sense. The Seifa really does violate ribbis. You're allowing somebody to hold on to your money a little bit longer, and he's going to be paying you extra. That's ribbis. So really what the Gemara is asking is, why is it okay in the case of the rental? So my Shna Ratio, my Shna Seifa, Rabbi Rav Yosef Darmi Tavai, Schir Sanim Shna Lameth Ela Besof. So the Gemara says, well, we have to understand that when you're paying a rental agreement, so how is that rent looked at? Let's talk now. We're renting on a monthly basis. Okay. So, and let's say, I'll just use the example that we just learned together. It's a sell-up per month. Sell-up per month. So it could, one way to look at it is as follows. For every day that I live in that house of the month, 30 days in the month, just using nice and even numbers, for 30 days in the month, so basically every day now is going to be prorated, a prorated amount of that seller. And so therefore, if I lived in the rental apartment for 10 days, so now I would be owing at that point in time a third of the seller. 20 days, two-thirds of the seller, et cetera, et cetera. That's one way to view it. The other way to view it, which is now what the Gemara is favoring, is that no. Truth of the matter is that obviously at the end of the month you owe the money. But it's not an accrued amount that comes incrementally over the course of the month, but rather the entire obligation is only owed at the end of the month. Now, if you take this viewpoint and you back out, let's say on day 28, does that mean you owe nothing? I'm not sure. I asked the question. I don't know the answer. It's not it's not the best way to present it, but I'm just being honest. I don't know. But if we take this viewpoint, which the Gemara is now about to take, so the Gemara says, so that explains it. So Eina Mishalas El Besofa Hai Kevin Delamatas Manei LeMigbe Lav Agar Natar Le. And since you're not owed the money every day of the month, but you only owed the money at the end of the month, so the truth of the matter is that this is not getting rewarded for waiting. Because you're not owed the money yet. You only owe the money at the end of every month. So, not lavagar natale, mashuhu dahachishavye. And really, the truth of the matter is, at the end of the month, that's how much it's actually worth. It's worth a seller for every month that's in it. And now, why is it that if you said to him, if you give me 10 slime right now at the front end, I'll let you live in it for a year, uzulehu dekamozel gabe. You're discounting it for him. But this is not a reflection of the true value. The true value is really seller per month, a total of 12. And you're just simply allowing, if you give me the money now, I'll give it to you at a discount. But that's not a problem of ribbis. Ribbis is a problem where I am expecting its value and then in addition to its value. So over here, what the Gemara now is arguing is that its real value is one seller per month, which is a total of 12. And I'm just allowing now, if you pay me now, to discount from the real value. But that's not a problem. That's not ribbis. Seifa. But now let's go to the second half of the Mishnah. Kev dezvina ninu, ubay lemishko demei me'achshav hilka chaganatar lehu. Vaser. But you see, the fact that of a sale, I'm ready to take $1,000 right now if you give me the money right now. That's not a discount. That's its true value. That's how much it is. And now, you want to hold the money, and now you want to pay me at a later point in time? Okay. And that's ribbis. That's going to be interest, because you're going to be paying me in addition to what you owe me. Okay. I'm a Rava. And just give me 1 second. I'm a Rav Dakal Bei Rabban Ba'Milsa V'Kim Nakra. And the Chachamim did a little investigation into this matter, and they looked at a pasuk in the Torah to bolster this position that when we're talking about rental and paying for rental, Eino L'Shiris Ella L'Besof. Really, its due date is only at the end, and it's not incrementally accrued over the course of the rent. For example, the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Kishir Shana Bashana, and the Gemara darshins. Now, is this a bona fide drasha, or is this just simply a smach? The way the Gemara presents it, it seems to be only more like a smach, a remez, right? Daku be Rabbanu Ba'Milsa ve'ukmua. It sounds more like this is just a way to support this position, but I'm not sure if this is an actual source. Either event, this year's rent is owed at the beginning of next year, meaning that really it's not incrementally accrued, but only at the end does the rent kick in. Yeah, Hedy.
There's a discount for the rent. Why don't we look at it as if the renter giving the money in advance and then getting the ribbit at the end, meaning like he used the money of the month in advance.
He's not. So he's not.
When the time comes, just because we waited, then.
But he's not. Understand though. In other words, the owner of the property is not borrowing that money. That's money that goes to him and stays by him.
No, he gives the money in advance. That's the money in advance. He gives him 1 month in advance.
Right.
So the owner is getting borrowing the money for 1 month and then.
But he's not. I'm not understanding. He's not borrowing the money. That money is his.
Until the end of the month.
Oh, because it's not due until the end of the month.
Yeah. So the renter is basically loaning the money to him until the date that comes.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay.
He doesn't owe the renter any money if it's a loan. What does he owe the renter?
Okay, let's table it for now. I want to get to the Mishnah. Okay, so let's, which is actually not that far away, but. I know there's a lot of discussion between now and the Mishnah. Okay. Where do we stand right now? So the Mishnah presents to us two scenarios in which one it's okay and one it's not okay, and the basic difference is the following. Basically, the difference between the first and second half of the Mishnah is a question of true value. In the first half of the Mishnah, if we're talking about a rental agreement, and I'm telling you right now that it is one seller per month, and I'm just allowing you, if you want to prepay and you want to discount on the prepayment, that's fine, because we're discounting below what its true value is. As opposed to the second half of the Mishnah, when we're talking about a sale, where I'm telling you that right now it's 1,000 zuz. That is a reflection of its true value. And I know, of course, it's a reflection of its true value, because I'm selling it. We're not renting it. I'm selling the property. So if I'm ready to take that money right now, you're not prepaying, you're paying. That's how much it is. And as a result of that, you can't now pay me layaway and pay me more layaway, because that's obviously now a violation of ribbis. Because now I'm going to get rewarded for you holding on to my money. And therefore it's a violation of ribbis. So that's really the fundamental difference between the first and second half of the Mishnah. And with that in mind, now we continue in the Gemara. The im legarim b'shem asar mana asar. Okay, so what we just said is that once somebody's holding on to your money, he's paying you back extra. So this would be a violation of ribbis. And Amar of Nachman. And with that in mind, now we start these next lines of Gemara. These next lines of Gemara just have a lot of modern application. But I'm just going to present the Gemara Kipshuto with Rashi in terms of what allowances are made in terms of layaway payments. Amar Rav Nachman Tarshashari. So Rav Nachman says Tarsha Shari. Now, in the time of the Gemara, you just said the word Tarsha, and everybody knew what you were talking about. Like, you know, Tarsha. And like, okay, fine. And Rav Nachman says, and that's permitted. Such a business arrangement is permitted. Everyone's like, okay. But to us, however, who are now 1,500 years removed, a little bit more, about 1,700 years removed from Rav Nachman and from Babylonian business practices. So let's familiarize ourselves. What is this? What's Tarsha? Rashi writes Tarsha Shari. Rashi is above where we are in the Gemara. Limkor schora behamtana biyosim idameha. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sell product. I'm going to sell merchandise, and we're going to have a layaway plan. He's going to pay me later. He's going to pay me greater than the amount that it's actually owed. Now, we just learned together in the Mishnah, you can't do that. That's a violation of ribbis. So what Rav Nachman is saying is really tremendous chiddush. Why would he allow that to happen? Where he's selling merchandise and he's going to get more because we're not going to get paid right away. The delayed payment, he's going to ask for more than what's actually worth. So let's continue in Rashi because this part is essential. It's because we are playing dumb. I'm not telling you right now what its current market value is. If I told you what its current market value is, which is exactly what happened back in the Mishnah, and then I tell you, but if you pay me later, you're going to be paying me more, so that's a violation of ribbis. But over here, we are playing dumb to what its current value is, and we just speak about how much you're going to pay me 6 months from now. That would be acceptable, says Rav Nachman. Ela yimkor stam bekach vekach liyom ploni. All we state are, here's what you're going to pay me on such and such a date. But you don't give the option of how much to pay right now.
But everybody knows the value right now, so it looks like privilege.
Okay, so right. So now we understand the statement of Rav Nachman is a big chiddush. Tremendous. Agreed. It's a tremendous chiddush. So Tarsha Shari Eitzver Amei Barcham LaRav Nachman VaAmir LaRavuk BaBarcham LaRav Nachman VeIm LaGarim B'Shem Asamana. Also, so the Gemara challenges Rav Nachman based on our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah we said you're not allowed to do that. So Amar Leih Hasam Ketzle Hachalo Lo Katzle. So Rav Nachman said, yeah, but there's a big difference, and that is in the Mishnah, I'm telling you what the price is right now, and I'm telling you that you pay me 6 months from now, you're going to be paying me more. So clearly there was a very clear articulation that you're going to be paying me more for holding on to my money. That's ribbis. Over here, no articulation.
You just say.
You'll pay me 6 months from now, and this is what you're going to pay me. And Rav Nachman says that would be okay. Amar Rav Papa Tarshi Didi Shari. Rav Papa says, look, my Tarsha, the way I structure business, for sure is permissible. Rav Papa, as we've mentioned a number of times throughout Shas, so he sold beer, and he made a lot of money, and he was wealthy. And if you really are interested, date beer, okay? not the more common beer of today's day and age. And so basically what he did with people is as follows. And Rashi explains. Osis char tamar hayom mochala bezman azol b'tishrei. Now in the fall, so beer went at a very low price. Okay, it was right after harvest. There was a surplus of beer around, and you could buy beer cheap during that time. And he sold it, but when he sold it to his vendors, so he didn't ask for payment until the spring. So basically, layaway payment of 6 months, and he demanded spring prices. And beer in the springtime went fetched for a nice price. And Rav Papa says, and what I'm doing is perfectly acceptable. Okay, good. Good for him. So my taima, schari lo pside, and zuzi lo tzrichina. Oh no. Sorry. Zuzi lo tzrichina. So, ana hu deka avdi milsa, gabi lo keach. So Rav Papa says, let's take the following three things into consideration. One, my beer would have kept. Meaning, if I wouldn't have sold my beer and I just would have held on to it until the spring, the beer would have kept great. So the truth of the matter is that I could have held it just as much as sold it, and I could have waited till the spring and sold it in the spring for the higher price. That's one. Two, Zuzilot Tzrichina. I don't need the money right now. Baruch Hashem, I'm well off. So I don't need the money right now. So I didn't get rewarded for waiting. Now, I know you can argue that point, but he's saying, but because of my financial position, I'm not in desperate need of the money. And finally, let's be honest. I'm doing them a favor. Because right now, they're taking my beer right now, and whatever they wanted to do with it right now. Now, right now, in the fall time, the prices are low. But they're taking my beer right now. They're going to be in the springtime available now to sell it. They're the ones holding the beer. I'm doing them a favor. So Rapapa says, such an agreement, such an arrangement, I think is perfectly fine. I'm accepting the springtime prices in the spring for the beer that I sell in the fall. We're not talking about today's prices. We're just simply, I'm simply stating, you're going to pay me in the spring, the higher prices of the spring. So I'm the Rav Sheshes Brei de Ravid de Rapapa my Chazimar de Kaza Baser Ditcha. And Danny, this is the point you made earlier, and let's, you know, we're going to conclude today with the following. So he says to Rapapa, sorry. So Rav Sheshes says to Rapapa, I don't understand. You're looking at it from your perspective. Let's do the following. Let's take a look at the same business arrangement, but let's look at it from their perspective. Zil baser didhu. Let's look at the vendors. And the ilo havalu, the customers. The ilo havalu zuze havishak lekihashta. So the Gemara says, look, if they would have had the money, they would have bought it now at the cheap prices. Hashta delays luzuze, but right now they don't have the money, and they're only going to have the money when they turn around and they sell it. So basically, now you're doing from their perspective, shakli ki yukra de la kame. So they're certainly benefiting right now from not having to pay right now and waiting until the spring. So from your perspective, you're saying, you're not really benefiting. From their perspective, they are really benefiting from not having to pay right now and only having to pay wait till later. So the counter argument to Rav Papa is that you can't just look at ribbis from the lender's perspective. You also have to look at it from the borrower's perspective as well. And Danny, that was the point that you made earlier. And parenthetically, by the way, the Gemara doesn't tell us like which argument to favor. Amar Rav Charma Tarsha Didi Vade Shari. Now Rav Charma says, now my form of Tarsha is for sure okay. Now again, the idea of Tarsha is that I give the merchandise now, payment will come later. We play dumb now. We don't talk about today's prices. We just simply talk about payment later at a understood higher price. So the Gemara says, so Rav Charma says, now for me it's for sure okay. Now, the Gemara, it's so funny, the Gemara doesn't tell us a thing about the way his business deals are structured. And again, it must have been clear and understood in the time of the Gemara. Gemara doesn't give a single detail of what he did. So quickly, we're going to go through Rashi. Bottom Rashi on the Amud. Rashi writes, Mocher prakmat yahatya mocher b'makam azol kishar shuhu nimkar b'makam ayoker. So basically what he'd do is he would give his merchandise to shlichim, they're going to end up becoming messengers. Basically, he gives them to middlemen, and they're going to go off to distant places and sell them. Here, it goes cheap. There, it's sold at a higher price. And so, he gives it to them, they don't pay him, and basically on consignment, and then they're going to go ahead and they're going to be selling it at the higher price. So, in terms of when they sell the merchandise somewhere else, so Rabbi Chama himself is going to be accepting all liability while the merchandise is going to that place. Okay, and then they're going to sell it, and then they're going to come back with other merchandise. Now, because the middlemen are not accepting achrayus, so therefore this is considered Rav Chama's product until it's actually sold. And so therefore, Rav Chama is saying that the way he structured it, it's for sure not ribbis, because the money doesn't actually belong to the middleman, who are selling the product on consignment. The money actually, the product still belongs to him until it's actually sold. In fact, he's taking full responsibility and liability until it's actually sold. So Rav Chama says, for me, for sure, the way I structured it, there's no problem whatsoever. My time initially, the lake of Birshusi, the Cholhecha de Kazle, Shafkalu Machzav and Akalu Shuka. And the Gemara says, and also consider the following. Yes, it's true that for my middlemen who are schlepping out to that place, it's true that they're paying for travel expenses, hotel lodging. It's true. but they're also getting a break. Because the merchandise belongs to me, I get certain allowances. The Gemara describes that Talmud Chacham in those times got some sort of tax benefit, much like clergy do in America nowadays. And there were certain benefits for merchandise of Talmid Chacham that took place in the market. Rashi, at the very last Rashi in the Amud, says, "Machrizin shloya adam rashalim kor achim kuyim kruhei." They basically got they were the first. I'm like describing almost like an auction. Like their merchandise was the first one that was sold, and then everyone else's was sold. So the middlemen who were selling Rav Chama's merchandise got benefits. So it's true that they had themselves had to lay out some money, but they received some benefits, and basically it's kind of like a wash. And finally, to get to the next mission, we're on the top of Samachem and Beis. Hilchzak Rav Chama, the halacha falls like Rav Chama, which sounds like from the Gemara, and Tosfos discusses this at length, which sounds like from the Gemara that the previous business structures are a little dubious, if we could say that. And Hilchzak Rav Elazar, and the halacha is like Rav Elazar, that when you charge ribbis min haTorah, you are the ribbis ketsutza. The Beis Din will demand a reimbursement for you. And finally, hilchasak rabbiyana damer mali hein mali demehem. And finally, when you're doing a forward contract and you're getting paid on a forward contract, you don't have to get paid with the product, but you can get paid with a monetary value of the product, like we discussed a couple days ago.